Do it, Mongolia. I know, I didn't know. Om Sukham Nityam Swaprakasham Vyadhanam Prayogo Adhishtanam Buddhya Bhujyam Buddhir Vrithyatu Nirmalam Aparam Sarvave Dantra Vedyam Pratyakaram Bhata Tadevaham Namato Anyata Shiti Menishti Shamati. And now we're going to do these footnotes, many of which are from Panchadashi document. We're still in this pretty Vyapti, all Vyapti. In the body of the text, looking for footnote number one, it is. In the Sanskrit, it says Palavyaptya, Palavyaptya, Na Brahma Vijaniya. It's about halfway through the text. There's a footnote that says number one, Palavyaptya. So, Asau Buddhihi Api, Palavyaptya, Na Brahma Vijaniya. Everybody see it? Okay. Do you see it? Okay. So, the sentence says, also, continuing on with the discussion, he says, also, asau buddhihi, this buddhi, by palavyapti, na brahma vijaniya, can't know brahma, kintu, vrittivyapti eva, vrittivyaptya eva, rather, by vrittivyapti alone. So the first footnote is to the palavyaptya, to explain palavyapti, and then the second footnote is to explain Vrittivyapti. Okay. So here, for the first footnote, it says Vritti Pratipalita. Maybe you should repeat. Vritti Pratipalita.
Vritti Pratipalita.
Chirabhasa.
Chirabhasa.
Vishayatvam.
Vishayatvam.
Palavyaptihi.
Palavyapti.
So this is just a terse explanation of the Palavyapti. The vritti itself, pratipalita chirabhasa vishyatvam. Vishyatvam means for the vritti, what is pervading the vritti is going to be what we call the vishya, the content of the vritti. So here the vishyatvam is that state of being the vishya is the chirabhasa. The vishyatvam, the state of being the vishya, belongs to the chirabhasa, the reflection of consciousness. The reflection of consciousness is the sattva aspect, which the buddhi is made of sattva. As are the buddhi, all of the whole antakarana and all of the sense organs are all sattva. Sattva means that we don't have a good word for it when we say chirabhasa, but it would literally translate as the reflection of consciousness. But to understand what they mean by that, the material of the vritti behaves differently than something that's just pure tamas or inert. So we use like the holding up a mirror or a rock to the sun. Both are maya, I mean both are mitya in terms of their order of reality. They're both inert in the sense that there's only one non-dual consciousness as the adhishtana. But in terms of this example, with the sun being the atma or the Brahman, the consciousness, the mirror is able to reflect it, and so its experience, in a sense, is different than that of the rock, right? But they're both still in the same order of reality, and they're both mitya, and neither one of them has any independent consciousness of its own, right? So that's how to understand that. So it's not that the chidabhasa, if it has a reflection of consciousness, but the consciousness that it's experiencing is a different consciousness. Because in this case, as different from you having the sun, which is far away, and there's a big distance between the sun and the mirror, here between the maya and consciousness, there is no distance at all. It's like a clay pot. The very substance of the Maya, the substance of the vritti, is conscious being. But the vritti, being Maya, has a twofold capacity. One is it as though reflects the images that are brought to it through the sense organs or through the mind or through the imagination or the memory. It reflects those images, and it also reflects consciousness. It's a two-way thing. You know, it manifests consciousness, and it also manifests the images. So these two functions are there. It is illumined by consciousness, and through, say, the sense organs, it gains content, vritti content, content in the vritti. So here, when we say palavyapti, we're referring to the vishyat from the content of the vritti being the chittabhasa, or its ability to reflect or manifest consciousness, which vritti palita, that completes the job of the vritti. Both aspects have to be there. One aspect we call the palavyapti. That aspect is what illumines the vritti. The vritti vyapti is just that which it enables something to fill the vritti. So whatever, like we use the fireplace, or anything that's an object, it allows that to fill the vritti. So we have chittabhasa on one side, the consciousness on one side for the vritti, and then the objectification of whatever it is on the other side. So vritti vyapti is the objectification. The consciousness reflecting in that is, well, you can say them, in a sense, both are reflecting. They're coming together. They're coming together. The avidya, or the maya, and the pure consciousness are coming together in the vritti. Without the consciousness aspect of the vritti, whatever is the content of the vritti is meaningless, as is the vritti, because there is no knowledge there, there's no knownness there, there's no being there. So the chittabhasa is necessary for the vritti to function as a vritti, right? But the function as a vritti, first it has to be a vritti, gaining content, whatever that content may be, and then that content, not in terms of sequence, but then as it gains that content is known. That's the chittabhasa. So here, palavyapti has for its content, the vyapti, the thing that's pervading, is the pala, which pala means the fruit. The fruit is the vishyatva, is referring to the vishyatva of the chittabhasa, which completes the vritti. In other words, the fruit is you have a vritti, it is known. That's the result of a vritti. Any vritti is known. But without the chittabhasa, without consciousness, it's not known. And so the palavyapti completes it. Otherwise it's not known, it's just inert. Okay? So that's where pala comes in. It gives the, it completes the vritti. It allows the vritti to complete itself, to do its job, in the sense that the vritti allows this to be known. But first of all, for anything to be known, there has to be a vritti there to know.
This pala means like fruit.
Fruit or result. Yeah. So you could also say that which, that the result of the vritti is the knowledge that it gives. Mm-hmm. But that knowledge is brought about by the chittabhasa, by consciousness. Mm-hmm. You have to remember that consciousness is the very knownness which illumines the vritti. So now you have the vritti with its content, and with the chittabhasa, it is known. So that's how the vishya has a lot of meanings, but in this case vishya means like the subject matter or the content. So the content of the vritti, what is the vritti directed at? Is it vishya? What is its content? Is it vishya? So here the content in terms of palavyapti is the chittabhasa. In terms of vritti vyapti, is the object, whatever the vritti lands on. So that it's a twofold, it's like a two-way mirror, both sides. The vritti enjoys consciousness, and it enjoys nama-rupa. The consciousness is Brahman, its source is Brahman, and then the nama-rupa, its source is whatever is being reflected in terms of the maya-upadhi, any nama-rupa. Or anything, actually, it can even be Brahman. So now that's the vritti vyapti. Then we have, that's the pola vyapti. Then the second one is vritti vyapti, And the second footnote. So here he says, Kevala Vritti Vishyatvam Vritti Vyapihi. The Vritti Vyapi has for its content the Vritti alone. In other words, there's no second aspect being looked at. It's just that the Vritti is really the content of the Vritti. You would tell it that the Vishyatvam of the Vritti alone, the content of the Vritti alone, means we're not taking in the secondary aspect, which is consciousness. It's just whatever the Vritti, we have the Vritti alone, but the Vritti has a content. The content is whatever is being given to it. Right? It's not just a Vritti standing there. If it's just a Vritti standing there with no content toward consciousness or toward an objectification, it's in deep sleep, it's in causal condition, you would say. But if the Vritti is there, we're just talking about its content alone. That's the Vritti Vyapi. So he says this, Kevala only, merely, alone, Vritti Vishyatvam Vritti Vyapihi. So the Vyapi, when we're talking about the Vritti, we're talking about just the content of the Vritti, not the fact that that Vritti is illumined. So that's what happens first. That's why we say the Vritti itself removes ignorance just by the fact that now that Vritti, the Vritti content has come into awareness, actually, through the Vritti. Without the Vritti, there's no knowledge at all. But if the Vritti has content, then because of the Chidabhasa, it will be known. So the Vritti itself removes the ignorance. The Chidabhasa gives the knowledge. Both are the same. They're happening simultaneously, but they're two sides coming together. So Kevala Vritti Vishyatvam Vritti Vyapihi. So Tata Cha Uktam Panchadashyam. In the Panchadashi, which is this very famous text, that is another one to go through from beginning to end. In the Panchadashi, and similarly, it is said in the Panchadashi. In English, we would say, this is what is said in the Panchadashi. Tata means in the same manner, and in the same manner, it is said in from Panchadashi. Panchadashyam is the 7-1 locative singular and feminine. Tata cha uktam panchadashyam. So here's the verses. It starts with Tripitaka. Tripitaka is chapter 7. It's in the Tripitaka, it's chapter 7, starting with verse 19. I meant to bring my panchadashi here and forgot it.
We did that chapter.
Yeah, we did.
Years ago.
Yeah, we did. So here's the verses, repeat after me. Swaprakasho pisakshiva. Swaprakasho pisakshiva. Vritya vyapyate nivat. Vritya vyapyate nivat. Palavyapya tvamevasya. Palavyapya tvamevasya. Shastra kribhira nivaritam.
Shastra kribhira nivaritam.
Then Tripitaka. In the Tripitaka, verse 90, okay, of the Panchadashi. Tripitaka is chapter 7. Swaprakashaha api sakshi eva. Sakshi is the subject, sakshi, not 1-1. So, the sakshi, reading backwards, api. Swaprakashaha api sakshi. The sakshi, even though api, it is swaprakasha. It is self-evident, self-shining consciousness. So even though the sakshi, the witness, is swaprakasha, self-evident, self-shining consciousness, divritya, by a buddhi vritti, di is the buddhi, by 3-1, by the buddhi vritti, that sakshi, vyapyate, is pervaded, anyavat, as though it is another. So just think about this. Normally in vritti vyapti, right, what happens is the vritti pervades the object, takes the form of the object, and then that chirabhasa illumines that object. It's all simultaneous. Here, as though it were an object, the vritti takes the form of the self, and even of the sakshi, even though the sakshi is self-evident, self-shining, the vritti, instead of looking out as though, looks to its own being, as though looking inward. There's not really inward here, because there's no space, it's not spatial for it to be inward or outward. It resolves itself into its own being, into the consciousness because of which it is illumined, which is what the prakriyas, the teaching methodologies, do. They take you to the subject of the vritti, right? And so when it takes you to the subject of the vritti, the vritti's attention, the vritti vyapti, is on that subject. And so here he's saying, even though the sakshi itself is swaprakasha, it's consciousness, it's not consciousness of something, just consciousness, conscious being. So this vritti, by the vritti vyapti, it, the vritti turns toward the consciousness as though it was something else. It could be like turning toward the fireplace. But instead, the vritti's focus is on its own being. So he says, as though it was another, right? So it's, there can't be a dual relationship that is not mitya between the self and maya. Because maya, or and the vritti is maya. It has no second being in order to stand apart from consciousness and look at it. It doesn't have that second being. But it's as though doing that, right? So the reflection, because of sattva, because it's sattva, it's able to turn its attention anywhere, which means it can also turn its attention to itself, to its own being. And this is why sometimes in the meditation, it's an important thing to recognize, because the buddhi can be aware of the self, which is as though, it's as though objectifying. Like sometimes in meditation I'll ask, what are you like? Let the buddhi ask, recognizing your own being, what am I like? What is my nature? Am I sukha or am I dukkha? You know? Because you can make that comment. Like if you say, is the nature of the Atma, you're asking the buddhi, is the nature of the Atma changeless, or can you move it or modify it? You see, is it possible for me to be changed or modified? You know? Can you put kind of a bag over it, or a covering over yourself in order to hide it? You know? Like I can with any type of object, you know, I can put a barrier between myself and the object, or I can look away from it and the object is gone. That's not possible to do with the self. Nothing can displace it, or change it, or modify it, or push it away in any way. So it says, swaprakashaha api, even though being, swaprakashaha api sakshi eva, even though the sakshi, the witness, which the buddhi differentiates itself from consciousness. And from the standpoint of the vritti, the consciousness is called the witness. From the standpoint of the buddhi, because the buddhi has objectified itself, recognizing that it itself is illumined by consciousness. And so then, in reference to that buddhi, it's the knower, and the buddhi becomes the known. But on analysis of the sakshi, it's not a knower or anything, it doesn't have any instruments of knowledge. It's, I am just pure conscious being. And pure conscious being is known by its very nature, swaprakasha. And that's what, it's that swaprakasha, Atma, that illumines the buddhi, so that the buddhi is known. So the knownness is what's illumining the buddhi, not a knower which allows the buddhi to be known. The self-evident knownness of consciousness illumines the buddhi, and the buddhi becomes self-evident. Okay. But not from its own standpoint, only from the standpoint of the self-evident Atma. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then it says, so the swaprakashaha api sakshi, even though the sakshi is self-evident, by the vritti, by the buddhi vritti, it is pervaded as though by something else, as though it's another. Right? The vritti pervades it, so it's pervading something other than itself. Then he says, second line, palavyapyatvam eva asya. The palavyapyatvam, once this has happened, because we're talking about self-knowledge here, how self-knowledge is gained, says the palavyapyatvam, for that, the state of the palavyapti, for the vritti, for that, alone, just looking at the Palavyaki, Shastrakrit Bihi Nivaritam. The Shastrakrits, those who know the Shastra, negate Nivaritam. They negate that Palavyapti, that state of Palavyapti. So we have two, Vrittivyapti, Palavyapti, for knowledge to take place. The Palavyapti only takes place in Vyavahara, in empirical reality, where the object that's being illumined is itself inert, is itself not self-evident. Then Palavyapti, consciousness illumining it, is relevant. But when the content of the Vrittivyapti is consciousness which is self-evident, then there is no place for Palavyapti. The Palavyapti, what would normally function as Palavyapti, is taken care of by the Vrittivyapti of consciousness. So the Shastrakrits, those teachers, those ones who are knowers of the Shastra, they have the Shastra in their hands. Right? They handle the Shastra, they teach the Shastra. Those people, or they're the pundits of the, in terms of the Shastra, the Upanishads, they negate the possibility of Palavyapti.
Just to clarify the difference between the Palavyapti and the Vritti, the Pala has the Chidabhasa?
Yeah, or we can use Chidabhasa. It's also a word we cannot use, but let me just explain. We've got Vrittivyapti, so if I hold up my Vritti here, and the Vritti is looking out, right? What's coming into the Vritti? It's pervaded by the Vritti, what's coming in through the sense organs. Mm-hmm. So that pervasion of the object into the Vritti, or the pervasion of the Vritti into the object, just that act is what we call Vrittivyapti. Mm-hmm. The object is pervaded by the Vritti.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now this Chidabhasa is from as though from the other side, the side of the Sakshi. And from that, because of the Sakshi, the Vritti is never away from the Sakshi, never away from consciousness. Mm-hmm. The consciousness is what illumines the Vritti, but to make the Vritti known. Otherwise, it's just the Vritti there, but mm-hmm. the Vritti is unknown. If I were to take the which is impossible, it's impossible for a Vritti to take the Chidabhasa, or the consciousness, away from it. But there are two different functions happening simultaneously. One is that the Vritti pervades the object, and now that the Ajnanam has been removed, in the sense that now it can be known, or is known even simultaneously, but without that pervasion, it cannot be known. But if the Vritti takes on that form, the Ajnanam is gone, and if the content of, as the content of the Vritti is lit up by consciousness. So now it's all simultaneous, so you have to think like this. In this room, and in what I'm experiencing here, there are probably many things in this room that are not included in the Vritti. Right? Things like what's behind the fireplace, or what's around the corner there, or what's under my chair. There's many things that are not included in that Vritti. And so those things, because they haven't made it into the Vritti, they cannot be known. Right? Mm-hmm. So the Vritti is required to remove the ignorance. Mm-hmm. Once it's there, then there's no longer any ajnanam of that, because it's coming into the Vritti, which from its own standpoint is not Swaprakasha. But it enjoys consciousness or knownness because of the Chidabhasa, which is reflected in it.
Right.
Okay, so say you have the Chidabhasa is reflecting in the Vritti is gaining content. Every time the Vritti gains content, that content is known, the Ajnanam is removed. If the Vritti doesn't gain that content, whatever content that doesn't come into the Vritti is not known. So the Vritti is responsible for the removal of Ajnanam, because if the object doesn't come into the Vritti, then even if the Chidabhasa is there, it's not going to be known because it's not in the Vritti. Okay. On the other hand, say there is no Chidabhasa, it's a dead person, the dead person mm-hmm. Vritti or something. The Chidabhasa isn't functioning. Then even though the Vritti is full of content, mm-hmm. it's not known.
That's why I don't understand why the Palavyapti is the one that doesn't work.
Oh, it only doesn't work in terms of self-knowledge. It works in terms of anything in Maya that requires to be illumined, mm-hmm. that itself is not self-evident.
So it works for non-self-evident stuff.
Which is
Palavyapti works.
Yes, but there is nothing that's self-evident other than Brahman. Brahman is the only thing that is self-evident. And Brahman What is Brahman, the conscious being, is the Chidabhasa. That is the Pulavyapti. Brahman's function as the very knownness that illumines the vritti,
mm-hmm.
that is the Pulavyapti. But if you're gaining self-knowledge, the vritti vyapti is of the consciousness, which is the Pulavyapti.
The content is the
is
consciousness
what it,
itself.
Yes. But in duality, the mind, the vritti, right, is illumining something,
mm-hmm.
or is say like this, is pervading something which has no consciousness. It's not self-evident, right? And so it needs consciousness to illuminate,
light it up, yeah.
to light it up. So the vritti also is non, it's not luminous. It's only luminous because of consciousness that pervades it. So if the consciousness is not pervading it, it can't be known, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so because the vritti is sattva, it is all the vritti is always known, it's just the objects of the vritti go on changing. But the only knowledge that takes place is actually what is coming into the vritti. Otherwise you have no relationship with it. But the consciousness is always there. So the vritti, as long as it's awake and up and running, so to speak, it is known. And so because of the chirabhasa, the sattva, these objects are continually coming into knownness.
Mm-hmm.
They, to come into knownness, they have to come into the vritti, which is illumined by the consciousness. So coming in, once they come into the vritti, the ajnanam is removed. Because if they don't come into the vritti, they remain in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They have to come into the vritti in order to be known. So the vritti, coming into the vritti removes the ajnanam. Because now that they're in the vritti, they can be known because they're illumined by consciousness. See what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. But when it comes to the self...
But now when it comes to the self, the first thing that happens in this vritti vyapti, in order for the vritti vyapti and pala vyapti to take place, normally we need both because the object is not self-evident.
Mm-hmm.
But say... Because of the teaching methodology, consciousness itself, as though it is an object, the consciousness itself is pervaded by the vritti as though it were another. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But when it's pervaded, when consciousness is pervaded by the vritti and vritti vyapti, then the consciousness, which is the luminary, the chidabhasa aspect, is already there. There is no other... Chidabhasa, there is no other consciousness to bring in to illumine the content of the vritti. So the vritti vyapti takes care of both sides of it. So you don't have, there is no pala vyapti because it doesn't need to be illumined because the luminary itself is the object of the vritti vyapti.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Got it. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. You have to think it over.
Yeah, no,
trying to put difficult things into words.
It's sort of a simple thing in a certain way, but put it into words, it gets complicated.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. You have to keep working with. I have to keep working with my own words until the top. That's the best way to say it. Okay. So let's do the next verse. Buddhi tetsa chirabhasa. Buddhi tetsa chirabhasa. Dvavapivyapnitokatam Dvavapivyapnitokatam Tatrajnanam dhyanashe Tatrajnanam dhyanashe Abhasena gataspurat Abhasena gataspurat Spurat Gataspurat. So, buddhi tatsta Chirabhasau dwau api vyapnitaha katam tatra ajnanam dhya nashet abhasena gataha spurait. It's going on talking about this. So the first compound is that the buddhi vritti, tatsta chirabhasau, and the reflection of consciousness, which is tetsta, abiding in it, sta, abiding in it. So the buddhi itself, the vritti, and the chirabhasa, which is pervading it, abiding in it. So buddhi, tetsta, chitta, vasa, dwell, both, means those two, one. Vyat, nutaha, dual, I mean 1-2. Now again, dwell is 1-2, nominative, dual, and then vyat, nutaha, both, even both them, upi is not really relevant here, both pervade the pot. Gatam is pot. Okay, so both the buddhi, the vritti vyapti, the buddhi pervades the pot, and the chirabhasa, which is abiding there in the buddhi, that also pervades the pot. Right? Because the vritti has consciousness. The source of the consciousness is the atma, and then it also has the pot, which is the vritti vyapti. So both are there. So when the object comes into the vritti, you have the object, vritti vyapti, and you have the chirabhasa, which is already there because of consciousness, as the adhisthana, which is there also in the vritti. Okay, so both are there. Both pervade the pot. Tatra ajnanam, the ajnanam, which is there in reference to the buddhi, or to the buddhi, the ajnanam which is there, dhya, neshe, that is destroyed by the buddhi vritti. So the pot comes into the vritti. Now that it's in the vritti, the ajnanam of the vritti is destroyed. Because the pot, these objects have to come into the vritti in order to be known. Mm-hmm. If they're not in the vritti, they can't be known. But the knownness doesn't belong to the vritti. The knownness belongs to the consciousness. So there, in reference to that, the ignorance is destroyed by the vritti. Abhasena gataha spurate. The gataha shines by the abhasa, by the reflection of consciousness, which is the sattva that allows for consciousness to be manifest in the vritti. So spurate actually, it's a word that they use for consciousness, is known by consciousness. It actually means, spurate means something like to sparkle, like that. But we use it in terms of consciousness. So it's just dividing this, that the ajnanam is removed by the buddhi, and the gutta itself is revealed by the abhasa, by the reflection of consciousness in the buddhi. It's clear?
Mm-hmm.
Then, brahmanya jnana nashaya, brahmanya jnana nashaya, vritti vyapti rapekshita, vritti vyapti rapekshita, swayam spurana rupatvat, swayam spurana rupatvat, abhasa upayujyate, abhasa upayujyate. It actually goes like this. This is a strange sentence, but I did it wrong. Swayam spurna rupa twat. Swayam spurna rupa twat. Na abhasa upayujyate. Na abhasa upayujyate. Chakshur di... Oh, well, that's all. What?
Yeah, that's the second one.
Mm-hmm. Let's do this again. Brahmanya jnana nashaya, Brahmanya jnana nashaya, vritti vyapti rapekshita, vritti vyapti rapekshita, swayam spurna rupa twat, swayam spurna rupa twat, na bhasa upayujyate, na bhasa upayujyate. One part of my brain was chanting this thing, and another was just off thinking about something.
You were multitasking.
I was multitasking. Somehow I was able to chant it anyway. Did I chant that? What is that? I've never seen that before. Okay. Well, let me break this on scene. Many things going on in my little mind. Okay. Brahmani, ajnana, nashaya, vritti vyaptihi, apekshita swayam spurana rupa twat na abhasaha upayujyate. So Brahmani, in Brahman, ajnana nashaya vritti vyaptihi apekshita. So in Brahman means regarding Brahman. Just take it like that for now. Second half of this first line, vritti vyaptihi is the nominative. The vritti vyapti apekshita. Vritti and vyapti are feminine. So the vritti vyapti apekshita is feminine. All one word. The vritti vyapti is required apekshita for the jnana nasha, for the destruction of ignorance, brahmani 7-1, in reference to Brahman. Regarding Brahman, the vritti vyapti is required for destroying the ignorant. The jnana in reference to Brahman. Svayam spudana rupa tvat. Because of having for its nature rupa tvat, spudanam, consciousness, svayam, because it itself has for its nature consciousness, spudana, svayam, spudana rupa tvat, abhasaha na upayujate. Abhasa is not applicable. The chitabhasa, the palavyapi, it's not applicable. Because the chitabhasa is what is the subject, the object of the vritti. And that consciousness is already there. It doesn't need now to bring in some other consciousness.
No.
Yeah. To illuminate. So it's just saying what we've just been talking about. Everybody see that? Upayujate means to be applicable or to be used, to be deployed. It's not going to be. Can't, but it has no need. It's already taken care of. So then it says, Chakshur dipa vapekshete, Gathade darshane tata. The deepa darshane kintu. Chakshurekam apekshate. So he gives a drishtanta. Drishtanta means an example. Chakshuhu dipau apekshate gata dehe darshane tata. Na dipa darshane kintu chakshuhu ekam apekshate. So here he says, the chakshu, the eyes, the dipa is the lamp. So chakshur dipau, it's a dwandra compound in the dual. The eyes and the lamp, the light, like the flame, the light of the lamp, chakshur dipau apekshete, are both necessary, apekshete, gatha dehe darshane tata, in the scene of a pot, etc. For the scene, it's a locative, in reference to the darshana, the vision of a pot or anything else that is objectified. So you need, in this case, for the pot, you need both the light to be functioning, right? And you need to acknowledge the eyes. Mm-hmm. So both are necessary. But then it says, similarly, in the same way that we just said in the first verse, both are necessary for the vritti vyapti, both aspects, for the pala vyapti, both aspects are necessary. But then, na dipa darshane, but not in the same way, tata na, but not similarly, not in the same way, dipa darshane, in the scene of the light, of the lamp, kintu. So they would say, but not in the same way for the seeing or the perception of the lamp. Chakshuhu ekam apekshate, the eyes alone, only the eyes, chakshuhu ekam, only the eyes apekshate are needed. Mm-hmm. Right? Because the lamp is the object, mm-hmm. and it's self-luminous. So you don't need to bring in another lamp, mm-hmm. you know, in order for these eyes to see this lamp. So you don't need another consciousness to come in to illumine the consciousness, which is the thing that's lighting up the eyes in the first place. So that's our example. I think it's a good example. Yeah. Okay. That's all we're going to do, because we need to go to the next page and we have to finish this. But this is all starting kind of the new subject matter. Not new subject matter. A new part of this verse of the. Said quite deep of the Mangala Shruti. Let's say it's going to take more of these words like a pot on and a lot on a pot.
What's a para?
Limitless. I mean, it has no boundary.
No shore.
No shore. Om Tat Sat.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurupyo Namaha Hari Om.
This is all to explain in a certain way also why it's called Anakanda Akara Vritti.
Yeah, in a way, right? It's a different subject matter, but it's really related. It's all related. Anakanda Akara Vritti is a vritti in which the subject and the object are resolved.
Oh, so it's a little bit different because the subject, you know, but it's related.
It's related.
That's why there doesn't need to be
a pala vyapti.
Pala vyapti.
Yeah. That's why, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The vritti is cognition. What is the translation?
Well, vritti has a lot of translations. It actually, vritti actually means like an activity or an employment of a certain kind. But in reference to the mind, we call it antakarana vritti, activity of the mind. So Swamiji, for translating that, has always called vritti a thought modification. Mm-hmm. And then we end up using just vritti. Mm-hmm. But if you look vritti up, you'll see, it can be really any type of employment or activity or involvement in something. Mm-hmm. Activity mostly. But here it says antakarana vritti, it's the activity of the mind, and what they're referring to is different vrittis, thought modifications that go on in the mind.
Could be a thought or an emotion or imagination or anything.
Anything that the antakarana is capable of doing. You divide it into four major categories: the buddhi, the ahankara, the citta, the memory, and the manas, the mind, fluctuating mind, indecisive mind. But that's also where we put in all the negative emotions that come into consciousness. Not weak, but I mean, it actually goes very clearly through all of that in Viveka Chudamani. Actually, pretty close to the front, in the front quarter of the book. It was the first time we'd ever seen that really dealt with, that the negative emotions go in and explain why the negative emotions go into the manas, whereas the positive emotions are really the anandamaya kosha, because positive emotions involve kind of the resolution, the quietening of the vritti. Mm-hmm. You know, it's as though because when you fulfill a desire or see something beautiful, the mind just goes into ananda. Mm-hmm. It resolves into ananda for the moment, which gives you that sense of positive. So the sense of positive has really for its adhishtana, Brahman. Mm-hmm. You know, the sense that the negative has to do with this stress or tension, krodha, kama, all of these things that are in the antakarana. Mm-hmm. So they just kind of rise up naturally.
The antakarana?
Well, the antakarana means inner instrument. Mm-hmm. The inner instrument has these four categories of capacities. We say types of thoughts. One sort of buddhi. The buddhi is where there's a sense of clarity or definiteness. The manas is, there's no definiteness, there's no clarity. It also includes like just the regular random thought flow, the negative emotions. The buddhi can respond to all of that. That's so the buddhi is differentiated from the manas because it responds. And it can respond in a knowledgeable way, or the buddhi can also be overwhelmed by the manas when you're in a deep reaction, and then you're still responding. But you're responding as though that negative reaction was yourself. Mm-hmm. So you're responding out of anger, or you're responding out of hurt, or whatever it is. You know. And then when the emotion subsides, kind of like a wave going out to shore, which is one of Swamiji's examples. It's kind of nice. The wave comes in, kind of overwhelms everything that's on the beach, and then everybody's kind of totally wiped out and affected by that, and then the undertow or whatever pulls it out, and then you're back to normal, and it's like, what happened to me? It's a really beautiful discussion, because what it means is the buddhi can get overwhelmed, but the mind, the manas, is not capable of holding on to an emotion or anything. The vrittis, no vritti can hold on to anything forever. Right? Even if it's an emotion which has a longer time span than just a cognition, still it is going to go by its very nature. So who wins? The knowledge or the emotional overwhelm? When it's happening, the emotional overwhelm tense seems to be the victor. But it will always subside, and you're still left with your knowledge. So that's why I say, if you have knowledge, self-knowledge, and the emotional things haven't been all worked out, you can get these overwhelms, you know, where you feel just overwhelmed in the emotion, but they will subside and you're left with your knowledge. So those are pretty bandhikas, you know. Obstructions.
And then chitta and ahankara are the other.
The ahankara is the eye notion, and chitta is the memory.
And the perception is also manas, right? Like
if you say the perceptions, the cognitions come into the manas. Mm-hmm. But we kind of keep the cognitions that are born of the sense organs, mm-hmm, in a separate category. So when we're saying the four categories of thought that the mind itself has available to it, mm-hmm, that's a little different, yeah, than when the sense organs are coming in. They become the source. But the mind itself has these four categories of capacity.
Because like perception, when perception comes in, it then checks the chitta, the memory, to say, oh, I recognize this as a horse, or interaction.
There is interaction. That's true. If a perception of an old knowledge comes in, mm-hmm, it's already known and recognized, because there's that interaction. Mm-hmm. But if it's new perception, you also have recognition. I've never experienced that before. I've never seen that before. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's true. But I think the buddhi would be the one that's doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I know that. Right. I had this experience and that experience. So.
I notice sometimes when I'm like driving and I see like that beautiful Mount Shasta and I suddenly catch that glimpse, it's like for just a flicker of a second, it's like everything, the manas stops fluctuating for a second and it just appreciates that.
It's a resolution because of the beauty of the Ishwara. It's like there's no jiva at that time. Mm-hmm. The mind's just resolved into the beauty of Ishwara. That's why it walks in nature and beautiful music and all of that. We all cite that as examples. Because it resolves the jiva, really. Mm-hmm. But it's just the shanta vritti.
It's the vritti vyapti and pala vyapti. It applies as much to an internal,
yes,
like an emotion or a thought.
That's
as
true.
It does to a pot, or mm-hmm, something like that.
It applies to any vritti, and even emotional vrittis, imaginal vrittis. They all feel the space with the vritti vyapti, and all are known. In other words, the imaginal vritti, mm-hmm, that imagination is filling the vritti.
Okay. Right?
And it is known.
Okay.
If there's some imagination floating out there, and it's not, your vritti is not, if it is not pervading it,
yeah,
then you don't have any knowledge of that. It has to take place in the vritti.
So like, but a thought, isn't a thought, though, itself a vritti?
Well, there are many types of vrittis and many types of thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the thought can be categorized in different ways. It can be a thought that's born of perception, or a thought that's born of what we call sakshibhasya, just the illumination of the witness. And then that thought, mm-hmm, is something that can be generated by the antakaran itself, by the mind itself, outside of the five sense organs. Like an imagination or active imagination or even any motion or inner child work or meditative experiences. Those aren't generated by our memories. Those aren't generated by the sense organs. They may have one time been generated like a memory, but it's not being generated by your sense organs when you're bringing up that memory. That's a capacity that the mind has to form a vritti.
Okay, so again, I'm getting a little mixed up here slightly. But so because it seems funny to talk about a thought then being pervaded or an internal perception, an internal something, whatever it is, emotion, imagination, being pervaded by a vritti.
Well,
because
pervaded
it itself is...
Pervaded is kind of the wrong word. And there's two things to say. One thing, when we're using palavyapti and vritti-vyapti, it's in terms of the gaining of knowledge. Okay. So that's the specific way that this is used. But the same is going to apply for any vritti. So say the vritti, which is sattva, you know, any vritti is going to have these two operations. The vritti is going to have content.
Okay.
So now if you're not just talking about what means of knowledge is being used to give that content, we're just talking about content, any content. That content, whatever it is pervading in the is in the vritti, and the vritti is in it. So that's the vyapti.
Okay.
And that vritti now that has whatever the content is illumined by the chidabhasa. So no matter what, these two functions are going to be happening. But when we're using these terms specifically, it's in how is knowledge gained.
You know? Okay.
But you can extend that. Like say you bring a memory up into the vritti. If you don't bring the memory up for the you know in the form of a vritti, that memory is just there in a manifest condition. It's not known.
Okay. So the memory is there, and then it's sort of pervaded by the vritti, which just means it is.
It takes the form.
It takes the form of the vritti, right?
Yeah. The memory takes the form.
Pervades it, or
However you want to say it.
And it makes sense that it's in the context of gaining knowledge. I'm thinking because otherwise it breaks it into these two actions.
As
though two actions, but in fact the first one, which is the
vritti vyapti.
It's not even relevant without consciousness pervading it, really, right?
It's not relevant, it would just be inert.
Yeah.
That's why it requires both.
Right. But when you see consciousness, you need that.
Only the vritti vyapti.
The vritti vyapti, right.
Yeah. Not the pala vyapti.
Right.
Yeah. See, again, in terms of we've got more steps to do here, which they'll get into. It's called what is actually happening. They talked about it. And, you know, if you break the pot, the self-luminous consciousness is already there. So you have to remove what the blockade is for the buddhi not to recognize. We have to get rid of the ajnana. Because the self as you are is exactly as you are now is taken because of ajnana to be one with the mind or one with the body. It's the same self that is absolutely fully present. That's why when you gain knowledge, it's such a shock and such a weird experience because you just recognize that what has always been me is free. That it is free of the body, mind, sense organs. The body, mind, sense organs are nitya and they totally depend upon me. But I have always been here. So the very me that is free is the me that I thought was bound. It's not a different experience. So it's not the gain of a new experience. It's the removal of the ignorance that caused me to have that what we call superimposition, this mutual superimposition from the standpoint of the buddhi onto uniting this kind of, we call it the knot of the heart that unites the object of awareness with the awareness itself. It ties the two into a knot. The ahankara does that. It unites what is objectified with the source, with the self, what is actually an object of awareness, it unites that with the self. The upadis, that term, means any place where the ahankara can land. Like this couch or chair is not an upadi for me. My clothes are not an upadi. They're just my clothes, but they're not me. But the body is an upadi. My mind, my thoughts, my sense organs, the prana, all of it are upadis because the ahankara, the I-notion, can land there. That landing of the I-notion onto the upadi is because of ajnanam, beginningless ignorance. So that ignorance has to be removed. Even though I'm always here, swaprakasha, even though I'm always here, the buddhi, it's not the self, doesn't have a problem. I'm just always here in exactly the same way. It's the buddhi, the jiva, that has a problem, that has to differentiate me from the things that, because of self-ignorance, it's always identified as belonging to me. So then I become my mind, I become my thoughts and my emotions, I become the body who's subject to sickness and old age and death and all this. I become finite and different from you, and, you know, there's just a whole, everything, that the whole way we view the whole creation, really, until I have knowledge, is a result of that ignorance.
And is the subtle body, can that, the subtle body is also lighted by consciousness?
Yeah, and it's also Maya. But because of this, the components of the subtle body, one of the components has to do with the antakarana, the mind, which is sattva, and the five sense organs, which are sattva. So the subtle body shines. It has also the five pranas as part of it, and the karmendriyas, the organs of action. So it has like 19 components, but included in those 19 components is the antakarana and the sense organs. So the sense of touch pervades the whole body. Mm. You know, so it gives this body a sense of what, of consciousness. You know, and the eyes pervade the physical eyes, and the subtle eyes, and the subtle ears pervade these physical ears. Subtle mind pervades the brain, like that. And so it makes very easy for me to take this body to be me, because consciousness is pervasive to it. As though. For it to be as though, this has to be really, this has to become mitya. You know, which means I have to recognize the relationship of this as though substance to myself. It's easy if you use your dream and your dream and imagination. It's easy to see the whole thing as mitya. Mm-hmm. That it comes in me, is sustained by me, resolves into me. I am the one self that is the truth of the whole imagination or of the whole dream. Yeah. That's easy.
It's harder to see my mind as mitya.
Initially, it's harder to see the mind as mitya when it's, you're in the waking state and it's identified with this body and perceiving all of the world, you know, separate from me. Then the mityatva of the mind is hard. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking at the mind of the dream character, or the mind of the character in the imagination, even all the emotions and everything they're going through are mitya, that's easy. But here, it's different. This is Ishwara's dream, as though. Ishwara's imagination, and I'm a little character in it. From Ishwara's standpoint, that's easy. No problem. Just like I'm the Ishwara of the dream or the Ishwara of the imagination, I have no problem at all. I'm not, especially if Ishwara of the imagination, if I'm identified with a character, I still know. Right? In the dreams. Even identified, I still know. But often in imagination, I'm not identified with anything. Yeah. If I'm the Ishwara of the imagination and I'm identified with the character, that's an avatara. That's an avatar. Mm-hmm. Because I know who I am. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt, and there's no doubt what this little character is also. But still, I'm experiencing the creation through the eyes of that character, but there's no ajnanam. That's what we, you know, the avatars like mm-hmm. Krishna and Rama. Mm-hmm. So a beautiful way to understand the avatar. Mm-hmm. Because an avatar has no prior karma. You know, in this, as explained in the Shastra, I mean, you can accept it or not, but nevertheless, as explained in the Shastra, if there's an avatar, means Ishwara has taken a form in this creation. It doesn't have beginningless ajnanam. So for us, we have beginningless prior births. And this birth is really a result of our last birth, which is attracting karmas to what is my core at that time, the core me at that time, in terms of the jiva, will attract karmas to take me through this life. So this life is very related to the last life, even though it's attracting new karmas, because it's just like today is very related to yesterday, right? That's different, and new things are happening and all that still. You know, today is related to yesterday, tomorrow will be related to the day, and last year is related to this, you know, like that. So that stream continues. You know. And Atma is not doing anything. I just am. I'm not reincarnating. Only the Sukshma Sharira. I just simply am the Adhishtana of the whole creation. That me is never moving one way or the other. There's no change. And there's no getting away from me because there's no place where I'm not in terms of there being only one Adhishtana. Like if you have an imagination, you're the self of the whole imagination, not just part of it. So there's no way within the imagination that you can get away from the self because the whole imagination is pervaded by the self. As though pervaded not in terms of an action, but in terms of just a reality. Could just say not away from the self.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.